Who's had a good week? Who's had a bad week? This week was good for me. I don't know. I was sick last week, so I didn't go to church, and it felt really weird not going to church for me. 'Cause I don't know. It's just like this is like a second home, and I think it should be a second home for everyone. Amen. Amen. 'Cause like in Acts, hold on, this is on the spot, so this is free, guys. Extra credit. Hold on. In Acts, it talks about how, after they had homes or whatever, they had basically the first church started in Acts, right? And it says in Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to apostles' teachings and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And the awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And then it also says, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belonging and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So notice in verse 46, it says, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. So we're called to, we're called to come to the temple. We're called to come to church, right? But that's not enough. We need to break bread in our homes. That means we should be constantly in the fellowship of one another. Amen? Not just on Sunday, but we should hang out. We should talk about home groups as an example of breaking bread. Amen. And that was the first church. They would just gather here, but then they lived a lifestyle of gathering together. Amen. So I want us to even have this vision for our church where Sunday service, that's awesome. Wednesday service, but like that every day we come in contact with another, with one another and talk about Jesus, right? Because that was like the first church. And that means they had miracles happening in their homes. One time, was it Peter or Paul? Basically, either Peter or Paul was preaching in a house, and he was preaching so good that one of the guys falls out of the window and dies, basically, right in the middle of a service, like a home group. Let's say it was a home group, right? So what happens? Was it Peter or Paul? Can someone help me? Okay, Paul. What happens? Paul goes downstairs, raises him from the dead, and again they continue service. This was a casual thing, guys. What happened to Peter? Peter was locked up, right? They were already used to people getting locked up. All the disciples were locked up in jail, either beheaded or persecuted. What happens? Peter gets locked up. He's sleeping in prison because he's all, peace of the Lord is on upon me, so it's all good. And what happens? An angel comes, right? Opens the door, his chains. He thinks he's in a trance. He thinks he's still dreaming. Like, how many of those dreams do you have to think? Like, how many dreams do you have to think you're, oh, this is just a dream. This is not real, right? So he constantly had dreams like this. And not only that, it says they were praying in the house for Peter, right? And they were praying in the house, and they came, and one of the girls said, "Hey, I think it's Peter's angel." Like, Peter came himself and he says, "I think it's Peter's angel." How many times do they have to see people's angels to have that, like, "Oh, it's just an angel of Peter, no big deal," right? So these houses were full of miracles. These houses were full of signs and wonders. And we can have that in our homes, amen? Amen? This is just an introduction. I haven't even gone to our message. Let's just pray. Dear Lord, I ask that you would open up our hearts to your word. I ask that you would speak to us, God, that Holy Spirit, our hearts would be open to what you want to say today, Lord. We are here for you, God, and we want to grow in you. We want to grow in the knowledge of who you are. Holy Spirit, let us be just sensitive to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, if you don't, you can look with a friend. That's okay too. So basically, we're going to turn into Mark 6. And it says, So I'm going to skip a little bit for the sake of time, but Mark 6:12. Before this, so Jesus basically teaches all his disciples, right? And he tells them to go into the villages. He tells them to go two by two, preach the gospel, you know, cast out demons, everything else. And yeah, he just told them to cast out many demons, anoint with oil many who were sick, and heal them. And that's what they did. They went two by two by two, serving, doing ministry. You know, we're called, we're sent out to do the same thing. Amen? And so what happens after Mark 6:12? So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that had been that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while, for many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves." So basically, they go through, they have this crusade, you know, they save a bunch, they preach the gospel, they cast out demons, they heal people, and they're doing so much of this that they don't even have time to eat, you know? And sometimes I feel like we can be so busy that we don't take time to eat. And what I mean by eating is taking time to read God's word and have our daily bread. We can be so busy doing ministry, which is good to be busy with that, but if it doesn't even allow you to have personal time with God, that's unhealthy. What did Jesus say after this? He said, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." Jesus himself told them to come to a desolate place. What is a desolate place? A desolate place is a place where there's nobody. It's solitary. There's nothing there. It's a place where it's lonely. Maybe there's a couple of insects keeping you company, right, in the wilderness. But this is a lonely place. This is a place where there's no one. And you know, I think oftentimes we can come to church and gather with one another, but we forget to go to our secret place. We forget to go one-on-one with God throughout our days. We can be doing so many things for the Lord. We can be healing the sick, casting out demons, singing songs, right? But if we don't, Jesus called his disciples to do this. He had a reason for that. And there's so many reasons why we need to spend time with God alone. I know this changed my life. Even before Bible school, I tried to spend time with God. I would like, okay, you know, I'm going to read the Bible every day. That's good, a chapter, you know. Something like that, which is good. That's awesome if you do that. But I always felt like there was more. There was more than just reading the word. There was more than just, you know, taking a nice cup of tea and just sipping in, like reading the Bible, right? I felt like there was more in the secret place. Jesus, so many times, he just went by himself. You read in the Bible. He fed the 5,000. What did he do? He went and left the people and went to a secret place. A desolate place. So there's so many reasons why we need to spend time with God alone. And I have a couple of points, so if you're taking notes, the first one is many people of faith did in the Bible. Many people, heroes of the faith, many New Testament people, Old Testament people even. I was surprised that Old Testament people even spent time with God. Like, they didn't even get Jesus, but they were spending time with God, right? And Genesis, so here's a couple. Genesis 19:27. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. In the morning, Abraham went. And he heard the audible voice of God. Job 1:5. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send the would send and consecrate them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And for Job said, it may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. So even Job practiced spending time with God, right? Amen? Psalms 5:3, David, you wrote this. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. In the morning, I will direct my voice to you. What is the first thing that you do in the morning when you wake up? This might be different for everybody. I don't know. For me, like when younger and even sometimes now, I'll check my phone. Okay, emails. Do I have any messages? Instagram, whatever, right? That's the first thing we do in the morning. Imagine if we started out the morning with saying, just like talking to God, saying, God, I want to start a day with you today. But we start our day with so many other things, right? Because we're busy, we're in a rush, we have to go to work, we have to go to school. Direct your voice to the Lord in the morning. Daniel 6:10. Daniel, you know, my boy Daniel. He went home. Even this is after like King Darius, King Nebuchadnezzar, right? King Nebuchadnezzar, what did he do? He said, "Yeah, if nobody can pray except to me, nobody, all this stuff." But Daniel's like, "I don't care. Like, I'm going to pray to God anyways," basically. And he said, and in his upper room, it says in Daniel 6:10, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. So Daniel would pray to God three times a day. Daniel would come before God and spend three times a day. You think like one is hard? Imagine doing it three times a day. One in at breakfast, one at lunch, and one at dinner. But Daniel was such a great man of God that Daniel would rather spend the night with lions than go a day without prayer. How many of you would sacrifice that? Like, I don't know if I could say that. Like, I don't want to be with some lions, you know what I mean? And yet we make excuses. We make excuses not to spend time with God. Mark 1:35, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Jesus, again, when it was still dark, he rose early. I know people, there was a person, one of my leaders from Bible school, he made his own school, basically. He opened up, he was my mentor, and he opened up his own discipleship school. And he said there was one guy in the school that would get up, I think, 3 or 4 o'clock almost every day to spend time with God. And he had so much breakthrough in his life because he did this on a consistent basis. But he would get up 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning just to spend time with God. Do we have that kind of discipline? Obviously, he was seeking something. He was seeking God. What do we seek in the morning? Maybe sometimes it's your breakfast. Maybe sometimes it's your coffee. For me, it's coffee. Obviously, I can't go a day without coffee, but tea is good too, I guess, for your tea drinkers. But yeah, like rising very early in the morning while it was still dark. Luke 5:15. But now even more, the report about him went abroad and great crowds gathered to him to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would draw to a desolate place, to desolate places and pray. If Jesus felt like he needed to be alone with God, how much more should we be alone with God? If Jesus himself felt like he needed to be alone with God. And we're not better than Jesus, right? So how much more do we need to spend time with God? He did everything with a purpose. You know, it's so easy to make an excuse. God, I'm serving. I'm helping so many people right now. I don't have time to spend with you alone. Like, people will come for your help. And you're like, God, I'm serving. Jesus was serving people. Jesus was feeding people. Jesus was healing people. Yet he would sometimes just leave the people so he could be alone. Does that mean he didn't love them? So ministry, even ministry, guys, it's so important just to go away from that sometimes and spend time alone with God. Amen? Why else? So first of all, reasons why we need to spend time with God is many people, in the Bible did it, and we want to be like people in the Bible, amen? We want to be those mighty men of God. Another one, for a personal relationship with God. For a personal relationship with God. David, come up here, my brother. So let's just say, David was in big trouble. David was in big trouble. He was hanging off a cliff, and I was the only one around, right? David's, he's basically going to lose his life. He's going to fall off a cliff, who knows, break his neck, split his head open. You can, I don't know, don't imagine it, I guess. But basically, and what I come to the rescue, I get him up, and he's like, thank you so much, you just rescued my life. Like, I literally would have lost my life if you hadn't come for me. And then, you know, like, David's on doing his life again. He's just going to work, going to school. And I'm like, hey, David, let's grab a coffee sometime. No. Why don't you, do you have time for me? Like, let's grab a coffee. I want to talk to you and stuff.
No, I got work.
David, and then he'll go to work and everything. David, do you have some free time? I want to spend some time with you. We've got to catch up.
No, I have to go to church.
David, I want to do this with you. You want to go to maybe a restaurant or something, have a dinner? But I saved your life. Like, how do you not want to hang out with me?
Well, I got, like, these college classes.
Thanks. Thank you. Let's give a hand to David for being a good excuse maker. Guys, but that's what we do with God. That's what we do with Jesus. Jesus saved us not only from death, but from hell. From eternal torment, from eternal separation. And he's wanting to spend time with us. He's like, hey, Johnny, please spend some time with me. Johnny, I wanna commune with you. I wanna have a dinner with you. I wanna talk about your life. How are you doing? But we're like, no, God, I got some stuff going on. Oh, I have to spend some time with my other friends. Oh, I need to do this. I need to do this. And I can speak for myself. I've caught myself making excuses. Even really stupid excuses. Like, I'm busy with something else. Like, Jesus, you're not my priority right now. He wants to spend time with us. And if you doubt that he wants to spend time with you, look at Peter. What did Peter do? He denied Christ 3 times. Peter's like, I don't know him. I don't know who this guy is. He even cusses a bunch. He was a sailor. Peter was a sailor, so he had a sailor's tongue. He would, yeah, ругался по-страшному. Right? He would just cuss a ton. It says in the Bible he cursed. Even when they asked, do you know Jesus, he cursed. And we're like, wow, Peter, how could you do that? Right? What happens? Jesus rises from the dead, right? And he's like in Galilee, he's still with the disciples. So Peter, what does he decide to do? He decides to go fishing. And when he's fishing, he's catching nothing. And he's a pro. Peter's a pro at fishing. You know, you take him to Georgetown, he'll catch you a nice amount of fish, right? But and Jesus was at the shore and he's like, hey, did you catch anything? Did you catch anything? He's like, no, we didn't catch anything. Do you sometimes feel in life like you're trying to do something and you don't catch anything? You're not getting anywhere? Or you're trying to go fishing in life and you're trying all these things, you're trying to work and you don't have enough? You're just coming empty-handed. You're like, wow, like, what am I even worth? But Jesus prepared a breakfast for Peter. Jesus prepared a breakfast for Peter. I bet that was a good breakfast, the Jesus cooking, you know? But Peter comes to the shore. He throws off his garment, right? And swims to Jesus. Swims to Jesus. And Jesus has everything laid out. See, Jesus wants to have breakfast with you. Jesus wants to meet you in the morning. Amen? And what does he do with Peter? You know, you're like, oh, maybe I don't spend time with God right now. I guess I don't love God. But he asked Peter, hey, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Three times. And Peter's like, you know I love you. You know I love you. Jesus knows that you love him. But he also wants you to spend time with him. If Peter being denying Jesus, it just proves how much Jesus wants to spend time with you. He prepared everything for Peter, and he knew that Peter loved him. He wanted Peter to know that he loved him. Amen? When Jesus died, the veil was torn. Jesus died and the veil was torn. Why was the veil torn? I think this symbolizes, I mean, it's very, very spiritual, obviously, but it symbolizes us having access to Jesus, us having access to the Holy Spirit, us having access to the presence of God, amen? So when Jesus died, he provided access for us to spend with him, and we act like it's a right and not a privilege. It's a privilege to spend time with God. It's a privilege to come to church and spend time with him. It's a privilege to be able to say, God, I just want to talk to you right now. In his presence, we get to know him more. We experience who he is. You know, we acquired access to the Holy of Holies. That's a place where only the high priest of Israel could enter once a year. But you can enter it every day. Crazy, huh? A little bit perspective. The high priest could only access this place once a year, and he had to go through a process. We can go before God basically anytime we want. And we have the Holy Spirit. In his presence, we get to know him more. We get to experience who he is. Like David making all those excuses, right? I saved him, but since I saved him, doesn't mean he knows me? If I saved David and I never spent time, I saved him, right? But I didn't spend time with him. Does he know me? You could be saved and not know Christ fully. You can, yeah, you're my Savior, God. I'm going to heaven. But I think Jesus wants to know even, he wants you to know him even more. And that's what the secret place is for. That's spending time with God. That's how you get to know Jesus. If I have a friend and I never spend time with him, is he even really my friend? To know someone, we must spend time with them. In his presence, he enlightens our hearts and eyes. We're able to see what we didn't see before. Have you ever had a circumstance where, like, I don't know what's going on, and after that, Jesus just shows you, hey, this is the reason I wanted you to go through that. He speaks to us through Holy Spirit and his word. People, don't tell me God is quiet if your Bible is closed. God is speaking all the time, and you simply just have to open your Bible and open your ears and get away to a quiet place and ask, hey God, what do I do in this circumstance? So important, guys. A church relationship is good, you know, when we gather corporately. You can know someone by a group, but do you know them personally? You know, you can know pastor by the way he's preached here, right? You can know him as a group. A church knows the pastor, right? But do you know the pastor personally as an individual? We change in the secret place. So not only do we get a personal relationship with God, we change in the secret place. Amen? Moses meeting with God on Mount Sinai. Everybody knows he would go up and Moses said, can I see your glory? God, I want to see you. Right? And he comes down back from the mountain, and what happened? His face was glowing so much that Israelites wouldn't look at it. that his people wouldn't look at. They gave him a little curtain just because of the glory of God shining from his face. So in his presence, we change. When we encounter Jesus, we change. Amen? Can someone say amen to that? If we're not changing, maybe we're not spending enough time with God. Or if you're changing in the worst way, you're definitely not spending time where you need to be. Because where you spend your time will influence you. Where you invest into will influence you. It says you reap what you sow, right? That's with everything. That's not only with finances. That's not only with your efforts. That's with time especially. Where you put your time is where you're going to harvest from. If I had a business and never put time into it, is it going to do well? No. If I had a relationship and I don't put time into it, is it going to be strong? No. Where do you invest your time? If you invest into your Instagram a lot of time, will you be popular? Maybe. I don't know. If you go to the gym a lot, you'll reap the benefits of that. So where do you invest your time? Many men and women of God say it is a critical part of life. I can't stress enough how many preachers, how many people who moved in the gifts of God, who were just did so many things for God. What they always say that is so important to just spend time with him. This is maybe 10, what you guys see on stage, maybe 20% of everything. Where's the other 80%? In the background where nobody sees. The other 80% is in the secret room. You have people praying for you. Do you guys realize that? You have people praying for you, praying for your hearts to be open, praying that you would discover God more, that you would get to know him more. People invest time so you can know God more. People serve so you can come before God. I want to be that person who invests time so other people can encounter him. Amen? I think we all want to be those people where when we meet with somebody, they're like, wow, why are you so different? It's because you spend time with him. Why is your face so shining, metaphorically? Because I spend time with him. People change. People change. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that the testing of your that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. So do not be conformed to this world. Don't put your time, effort into this world. Don't try to be like this world. Don't try to grow things in this world, like invest into the things that are just going to perish, right? But be transformed. How are we transformed? By the renewal of our mind. And what does it take for us to renew our mind? It's to spend time with him. What you put in your mind, what you allow to see, like yourself to see, what you allow yourself to hear. If you're always watching Netflix, well, that's what you're going to be thinking about. If you're always looking how to make more money, that's what you're going to be thinking about. You're allowing that to come into your mind through your gates, which are your ears and your eyes. Control your gates. What you allow into your mind is going to manifest. If you're constantly thinking about how to grow in God, what are you going to be doing? You're going to be reading the Bible. You're going to be spending time. That's how you get a renewed mind. And how you get a corrupted mind that is conformed to this world. How you get a corrupted mind that is conformed to this world is that you allow the things of this world to go into your mind. You allow yourselves to listen to certain types of music. You allow yourself to watch certain types of shows. You allow yourself to be around certain people who you know are not investing the right thing into your life. Maybe some of you today need to kind of distance yourself from some people because they've been corrupting your mind, because you've allowed their words to be in your mind. Maybe you need to stop listening to a certain type of music. Maybe you need to stop watching a certain type of thing. Maybe you need to just you need to leave something for the sake of you. For the sake of being renewed in your mind. What are the benefits of having a renewed mind? It says, that by testing you may discern that you what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. So when you spend time with God, guess what you get to know? What he wants from you. You get to know what is good, what is perfect, what is acceptable in your life when you spend time with God. Why are people oftentimes confused what they want? God, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And then I talk to them and they're like, yeah, I'm just, you know, spending time with friends, hanging out, partying and stuff. Like, well, obviously you don't know what God wants you to do. Have you asked him in your secret place? Have you spent time to see what, because when you know a person, when you get to know a person, you get to know what they like, right? You get to know what they desire. Amen? Do you know Jesus? Do you know what he is like? What he wants from you? The song we even sang, Jesus, here I am, your favorite one. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? I have to know. Jesus wants to know you. And he wants you to want to know him too. You will notice a difference. If someone was learning piano, let's say someone was learning piano, and you would notice if it seemed like they practiced once a month compared to every day. Easy, right? If you practice the piano once a month, how good are they going to be? Unless it's a gift from God, you know? But how good are they going to be if they practice piano once a month? Not very good. They're not going to know how to play the piano, really. But if you practice every day, if you practice the piano every day, in a month you will see a difference right away. Amen? How much more in the secret place? How much more will you know how to walk by the Spirit? How much more will you know how to be led by the Holy Spirit if you go every day and not just once a month, not just once a week on Sunday? Amen? When we spend time with him, we become more like him. There was like a study, I forgot which college did it, but basically you are an average of your five friends. Five closest friends. You are an average of your five closest friends. So the people, the five closest people to you, you're basically them if you take all the stuff from them. So who are you an average of? Who are your five closest people? If you're spending time with the wrong people, don't be surprised if you're going to start doing the things they do. Don't be surprised if you start thinking the way they do. Hang around five complaining people all the time, guess what you're going to be doing? Complaining. Hang around people who seek God and want what God is, want what God's plan is for them, you're going to want that too. Amen? It says, bad company corrupts good morals. Why? Because, again, you're allowing them into your mind. You're allowing them into your life to influence them, to influence you. Amen? What else? How else do we change in the secret place? We are sanctified in his presence. Sanctified. We are clean. We are pure in his presence. When we come before God and we ask, God, renew me, restore me, purify my heart. Let your blood wash over me. God will do that. He wants you to be pure. Why it says, the generation who will ascend the mountain of the Lord is the generation who has clean hands and a pure heart. Right? You can have clean hands, guys. You can be good on the outside. You can look good. You can do this Christian thing. Everybody can see, wow, he's serving. Wow, he talks like this. But God sees your heart. God sees the reason you're doing this. God sees what actually you're thinking. God sees what actually you do in your secret place. We don't just need clean hands. We need a pure heart. Amen? A pure heart, you need to know what's in your heart. It's easy to fake some stuff. Super easy. He cleans our hands and heart. But even sometimes, it's funny. If I had, let's say I was holding, what's a good thing? A guitar. I was holding a guitar, right? No, it's okay. I was holding the guitar and like I'm holding it like with both hands, and you know, I'm not willing to put it down. And then I come before God. God, clean my hands, please. Please clean my hands. Like God's looking and he's like, first put down what you're doing, first put down your hobby, and then like go before me with empty hands so I can clean them. How is God going to clean your hands if they're not empty? How is God going to clean your hands if your phone's in there? Ooh, conviction right there, huh? Do you guys get what I'm saying? And this is what I've been discovering for myself. Like, God, I want to be clean before you. I want to be pure. And God's like, okay, then let me do that for you. Drop what you're doing. Come before me with empty hands so you can receive. If you have your hands full and God wants to give you a gift, how are you going to pick up his gift if your hands are full? With something else. So easy. Right? So, what do we have to do? It's not necessarily ditching everything, but surrendering everything. Giving it to Him. God, this is your stage. God, this is your instrument. Just let me use it for your glory. I want to do this for you. And God, I surrender it to you. When you want me to do it, I'll do it. When you don't, I won't. And with surrenderance comes sanctification. When you surrender before God, when you have empty hands and an open heart to Him, you surrendered it all to Him. That's when He is able to sanctify you. Because His word sanctifies us. Jesus told His disciples, "My word has sanctified you." Receive the word with open hearts and open hands. Amen? We need the secret place to re-energize or get refreshed. Right? If you only come here, like if I never spend time with God, like honestly, I don't know what I would preach. I don't know what I would be standing here for. Like God, like I don't know, right before service, God, give me something to preach. I don't know what I'm gonna preach. No, but when you constantly spend time with God, He does things. He re-energizes you. He refreshes you. So we don't burn out. That's why He told the disciples, hey, after you're done casting out demons, healing people, preaching the gospel, go spend time so you don't burn out. And many people in ministry, many people outside get so caught up with their work, get so caught up with ministry that they burn out, that they don't have any more energy. God never told you to burn out. Your flame will burn out if it's not joined to the eternal flame. Your fire will burn out if it's not joined with God's fire. That means spending time with Him. Amen? If you don't join your flame to the eternal flame, you'll go out. You can't pour out if you don't get poured into. Amen? If you never get poured into, if God never, you don't allow God to fill up your pouch with seeds, how are you going to plant seeds? How are you going to pour out unto others? How are you going to bless others when you're too full for God to bless you? Amen? God really serious. Jesus prays, "Give us our daily bread." Jesus prays. Daily bread, right? Some people, and needs, obviously, He provides for us physically, but I think that it goes even deeper than that. Our daily bread. Jesus Himself quoted that man does not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We live by God's word. It's like our daily meal. We need our daily bread. We need our daily word. Amen? When you have problems, where do you run to? When an issue comes up, when a circumstance comes up, where do you run to? Maybe some of you run to your parents, I don't know. But we are called to run to God, amen? When you have problems, instead of running to the phone, run to the throne. Amen? Instead of running to the phone, run to the throne. But I often even find myself, something bad happens, I'm like, oh, I gotta talk to somebody about it. No, that's not right. Yes, do that, but first go to God. See what he wants to say. First go to God, because he's going to give you better advice than anyone else can. Amen? His word will give you better advice than any other person's word. So where do you run to when you're in trouble? Do you run to the secret place? I know when I'm not feeling good, when my heart feels heavy, when you just feel tired, when you feel like so many people are just annoying you, like, leave me alone, bro. Like, don't talk to me right now, right? Don't run to get yourself distracted with social media. Don't run to going on the computer. Don't run to like, oh, I'm just going to watch TV or something. Run to your Bible. Run to God's presence. That's when you are going to change. You watching the TV is not going to help. Maybe it'll help temporarily, but the problem doesn't go away. David ran to God when he had problems. So many times. David didn't run to other people. David ran to God. In the Psalms, you always read, God, all these enemies are coming after me. All these people, they're speaking bad about me and everything. But he goes to God and he says what his thing is. And then at the end of Psalms, it always, like, at the end of most of his Psalms, he's always like, but God, you are eternal. You are faithful. Your love never fails. Your love never goes away. Right? David knew who his refuge was. He knew who his strength was. David knew where his shelter was. What is your shelter? What do you hide behind? What do you hide behind when you have problems? Again, we can go again. Do you hide behind your phone? Do you avoid people? Do you just get busy with something else? What do you hide behind? When in reality, we should always just hide behind God. We should always go to him. He is our shelter. When the rains come, we don't go to other places. We go to God because he is our shelter. Amen? When storms happen in our life, when problems come, he is our shield and our shelter. Amen? Consistency is key. Can I have keyboard come up? We're almost done. And everybody said hallelujah. Consistency is key for growing in the secret place. It's not just like, I don't know, I've recently came across this example because I can totally relate to it. But for me, like going to the gym, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to work out really good for an hour. I'm just going to go at it. I'm going to kill my body. So next morning, I can't even stand up. And what I do that. And what happens the rest of the week? I don't work out. I worked out one time in the week, and then what usually happens? You're not going to see results. You're not going to see results. But imagine if I only worked out 30 minutes, maybe not so heavy, every single day, am I going to see results? Maybe not the first week. But think about it, in devotions, awesome if you spend an hour one day a week. Well, imagine if you just spent 20 minutes every day. That would be so much more effective than you just spending 1 hour one day. Amen? Consistency beats intensity. I can go really intense in the gym. I can go really intense in praying. One day, but then what happens the rest of the days? So consistency will be intensity. Grow your faith. How do you grow your faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? So hearing, it doesn't say when I heard the word of God. But when I'm hearing the word of God, that means it's a consistent thing. It's not just like, oh, I heard the word of God. Praise the Lord, I have the faith. It's constant hearing of the word, a constant thing. You know, you'll have so much more faith if you constantly have the word of God in your mind. But instead, we have other things running in our mind constantly. And we have faith for those things, but not for the things of God. Go with discipline rather than motivation. Discipline yourself to go every day, even if you don't feel like spending time with God. I don't think anybody likes to work out the first week when they first start. But after a while, they're like, dude, I love the gym. I'm like, wow, I want that. It takes discipline, guys. Motivation, you can be motivated after a conference like, yes, God, I'm going to spend so many days with you. I'm going to spend every day with you. And after 2 weeks, the conference, oh, it's like, fire, you know. But you need to discipline yourself. Even if it's 5 minutes a day, start with 5 minutes a day with spending with God every day. And you will see how it will change your life. 5 minutes a day. I think we can all make that commitment. You can brush your teeth in less than five minutes. How much more? You can spend time with God at least 5 minutes of a day. If you have an excuse for that, then I don't know, you just deserve some trophy or something. No, but we need to seek God. Amen? Let's stand up. If we don't fill ourselves with God, we'll fill ourselves with something else. Easy said, right? If you don't spend time with God, you'll spend time with something else. You know, David got in trouble. Why David got in trouble with Bathsheba? Bathsheba was a girl taking a bath. Funny name, right? Bathsheba. But why did David get in trouble with Bathsheba? Because David was supposed to be in the battle that his men were fighting, but instead he decided to chill at home and watch some Netflix. David got in trouble not because of where he was, he got in trouble because of where he wasn't. Where he wasn't. So if you're not spending time with God, where are you spending time with? And that might be opening doors for sin. That may be opening doors for other stuff. Open your door for God. It says, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and dine with him. He will come and commune with you. He will come and talk with you. Amen? I think God is calling this youth specifically even. This is for every Christian. But guys, we need to get on top of spending time with God. We need to get on top of youth service. That's awesome, guys. But we need more time with God. You want to see revival in your life? Start by yourself in your secret room. Then revival will come. Don't look for the next minister. Don't look for the next preacher. You're a revival. You're the next person. But revival costs a price. Surrenderance of time. Priority. You make God's things priority. You press in. You soak in his presence. You're just saturated. Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You want to stop doing bad stuff? You want to stop sinning? You want to stop having these like, oh man, I did it again. I do. In order for me to do that, I need to walk by the Spirit. In order for me to do that, I need to say no to that and say yes to God. I'm spending time with you. I will walk by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're the most important thing in my life. Amen? 1 Timothy 4:8, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of a value in every way, as it holds a promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So when you are in your secret place, you're not just... It's going to be good on earth, but guess what? It's going to be even better in heaven. You're not just, you know, investing into this world. You're investing into heaven. Amen? Can worship team come up? We'll sing Jesus. Here I am, your favorite one. So my prayer for us today is that we would just take time to spend with God, even if it starts with 5 minutes, even if it starts with, I don't know what it's going to take, guys, but you can make time for God if it's important to you. And I'm telling you, it's important. And not only that, it's not just a duty, guys, it's going to change your life. I know it changed my life. So with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, everybody across this room, if you just feel like the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart, like he's saying, I want you to spend more time with me. I want you to surrender your time. I want you to give up some relationships with people. I want you to be careful what you see, what you watch, what you hear. And I want to spend time with you, God. Just offer that before the Lord. Say, God, this is my desire to spend time with you. God, let me have wisdom. Give me a desire to spend time with you. Lord, we come before you and we surrender ourselves, God. We surrender ourselves to you, God. And we desire more of you. We want more of you in our lives, God. We ask that we would spend time with you, God. That we would be able to make an effort. That we would make an effort of time, God, to spend time with you. Presence, God, because in your presence we change, God. In your presence we change. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts, God, that you would make our hearts moldable in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in us, Lord, that you would give us a desire to spend time with you. Lord, I want to seek you in every way, Lord. I want to seek you in my secret place, Lord. I never want to be too busy for you. I never want to make lame excuses, God, that I have to do something else, Lord, because you are the Most High. You are the priority. You are first, God. Your kingdom